Blog Talk Radio.
According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Please note in verse 19, we have the words exceeding greatness. These words mean in the Greek text to grow beyond, something that is beyond our greatest imagination. We can't begin to understand this gift of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And so there are four words that are used in the Greek that are translated into the English by the one word power. The first word that Paul uses is dunamios here in the text. And dunamis or dunamios here means to be capable. It also means inherent power. The second word that he uses is energeion, from which we get our English word energy. The third word that he uses is kratos. And here is another word that is very important to us. I will go into only a few of the words this evening. The last one is ischous. Ischous means to avail. It means to be strong. And so, states, notice. And what is the, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to, notice the importance of the preposition here, to usward. So we have the prepositional phrase, to usward. Who believe? Now, in the Greek text, the word who believe does not mean that one believed at a point in time and then that is all. In the Greek New Testament, to believe in Jesus means that at a point in time, the aorist, an individual, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then there is also a continuing growth toward spiritual maturity. Not spiritual perfection, but spiritual maturity. And so, this is a wonderful verse. And let me say at this time that here we are presented with the key to understanding how to have mastery over spiritual diseases that can turn into spiritual plagues. Now, hostility is a spiritual disease that has a physical component. There is a connection between hostility and disease, just as there is a connection, an undeniable connection, between anger and disease. So I'm going to be taking a look at what the New Testament documents have to say about hostility and anger. And so I'm going to be turning to Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, this is what Paul writes. I'm going to begin at verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, that is the brand new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, that's a topic for another day, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. A very profound reality. Very profound. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath or the wrath of you. Now, in the next verse, verse 27, Paul writes, neither give place to the devil. And so I want to show you the connection between anger and giving the devil access to one's life. So, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And so, very poignant and important words for us all. We all get angry, but then there is a pathological type of anger that the scriptures addresses. And so, it is that term that is used here. And Paul is here in verse 26 speaking about sinful anger. Parargismo, P-A-R-argismo. And this word means to be out of one's mind with anger. It means to be beside oneself in rage. Here is the scriptural word for hostility. And rage, which I will not be addressing tonight, is an extreme form of malignant anger that we will not be addressing tonight. So I'm going to give you a general overview of what the scripture has to say about anger and hostility. So parargismo is the word that is used here. It means to be out of one's mind with anger. Now, note, Paul is speaking to believers. To be besides oneself in rage. Now, in verse 27, he says, neither give place to the devil. The Greek word in verse 27 for place is topon, from which we get our word topography. And so, when we open ourselves to anger of this magnitude, that is to sinful anger, then we open ourselves, we open a door for the enemy to have access to our lives, to our thought life, that is, to our attitude, to our volition, that is, to our will, and to our emotions. Neither give place to the devil. The word devil means one who divides people for no reason. And the devil will divide us from ourselves so that we walk besides ourselves. There is a word that's used by James, that James uses, it's called diasukos. That is, the individual who walks beside himself, diasukos. And so this is very serious language. And Paul is speaking to believers and to believing ones so that they might understand importance of walking or ordering one's step or steps according to the power of God or according to the resurrection power of Jesus. So let me go on to Paul's letter to the Colossians. So parargismo is one word. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul, beginning at verse 5, Paul writes, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth," and for believing ones, mortify means to deaden or to subdue. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that he beat his body black and blue, that is, he brought his body under submission. Because after preaching to others, Paul did not want to be a castaway, not spiritually. He did not mean to be permanently cast away from Jesus, but that he would be ineligible for a prize. And he wanted that spiritual prize, and therefore he wanted a sound and consistent spiritual walk. And he knew that the flesh, the sarx, was his natural enemy. The Bible, that is, New Testament, never says that believing ones have a sin nature. Harmatia, and then a word for nature is physis, from which you get our word physics. You never find those two words juxtaposed syntactically in the Greek with regard to believing ones. Now, the Greek word harmartelos is an adjective, and it means sinner. Sinner. You never find that language relating to believing ones. They are called saints. Paul never wrote a letter to those who were in Christ having sin natures. You never see that kind of syntax in the Greek, in the writings of Paul, in all of his 13 letters. That language is not there. So notice what he writes, beginning in verse 5 of Colossians 3. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth," fornication, is the word porneia, or porneia here in the Greek, fornication, uncleanness, the word here literally means filth, inordinate affection, that is one word in the Greek, it is P-A-T-H-O-S, pathos, or pathos, from which we get our word pathology. The next word, evil concupiscence, refers to the results of pathos, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we are to mortify our members so that we will not be in these categories or have the be exercising the sarx in these categories. He goes on, "For which things sake," verse 6, "the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked some time." Notice the past. "When ye lived in them." You see, now all of this is in the past, or should be in the past. Verse 8. "But now," nunny day. "But now you," you is in the emphatic position in the text. So emphatically, "but now you," speaking to all believing ones, "also put off all these." First word is anger. Second word, wrath. Malice, which is congealed anger. Malice means evil, an evil habit of mind, blasphemy, verbal abuse against someone. It is the worst type of speech. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Now this is verse 8. So the first word in verse 8 that has been translated as anger is orge, O-R-G-E, orge. Orge means anger as a state of mind. anger as a state of mind. The second word is thumos. Thumos means outbursts or an outburst of anger for the purpose of revenge. I want you to get the seriousness of this language because you and I are in Christ. You and I have been bought with a price. You and I have been redeemed, that is, purchased out of the slave market of sin. Please read the book of Hosea. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. And in the first book of church history, the book of Acts, we are told that God purchased the church with his own blood. So we are to be qualitatively different beings. We are not to be those who exhibit par argismo, that is, to be out of our minds with anger. We are not to be those who have anger, that is, orge, anger as a state of mind. We are not to be those who are in thumos, that is, who have outbursts of anger for the purpose of revenge. And we're not to walk in malice, that is, to have an evil habit of mind which results in blasphemy, abusive verbal speech against someone. It is, the worst type of speech. And so we read, filthy communication out of your mouth. These things are not to be. Lie not to one another, verse 9, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And so we are called to be qualitatively different beings. Don Colbert, M.D., wrote a book entitled Deadly Emotions. Understand the mind-body-spirit connection that can heal or destroy you. He writes, you can overcome the deadly emotions that could trigger the disease process. Anger and hostility can and most often do, that is, malignant anger and hostility can result in hypertension and coronary artery disease. Repressed anger can result in tension and migraine headaches, chronic back pain, and TMJ. I want you to get the connection between spiritual disease and what happens in the physical realm. God wants you and I to be free. And if we are angry, we are in orge, which means anger as a habit of mind, and then this anger becomes explosive thumos or outbursts of rage for the purpose of revenge, then we are not living the way God wants us to live. Beloved, we are not living according to the resurrection power of Jesus. In another book entitled Anger Management, this book, we have these words. Many people come for help with anger. You may be having problems with your boss or spouse or children or friends, etc., and your interactions with them may often lead you to feel angry, or you may simply feel angry while driving or thinking about past crises or waiting in line. Of course, we all get annoyed and angry on occasion. However, frequent and intense anger is a real problem. Anger is toxic, and it causes many more problems than it solves. Nevertheless, it is true that when you are angry, people seem to listen to you, and they may even do what you want for a while. So it seems to pay off. However, the long-term effects of anger are very negative and far outweigh any short-term benefits. Your interest in anger reduction is a very positive step. By reducing your tendency to become angry, you are much more likely to live a happy, fulfilling life, and one with fewer long-term medical problems. So, congratulations on your interest and willingness to move forward to tackle this problem. And then there's a list of anger-associated problems. 1, anger leads to conflicts with others and increases those conflicts that already exist. 2, anger leads others to evaluate you negatively and to dislike you. This affects family happiness, job advancement, and social opportunities. Since angry people are disliked, they are less likely to be invited to social events, as hosts may fear the angry-based conflicts which are likely to occur. Anger leads to avoidance and loneliness. 3, major medical problems such as cardiovascular disease, stroke, and cancer appear more often in angry people. There are numerous studies that support this last statement. Numerous. Long-term studies show increases in death rates for people who are frequently angry. Angry people die earlier. 4, when the negative social outcomes are recognized, anger leads to low self-evaluation. In the end, it is unpleasant to come to the awareness that you have been the cause of so much family and interpersonal disruption. 5, anger leads to aversive verbal or physical assaults, often targeted at persons supposedly loved and respected. Angry people say and do things they later regret, including name-calling and inappropriate gesturing. It's called blasphemy in the New Testament documents. 6, anger is associated with erratic driving, which may lead to altercations with the law. 7, anger may lead to property destruction committed while out of control in a fit of anger. Par argismo, according to the scriptures, par argismo, to be out of one's mind with anger. 8, anger contributes to occupational dissatisfaction and maladjustment, problems with coworkers, lowered productivity, and increased probability of job failure. 9, anger leads to poor decision-making and inappropriate risk-taking. In the long run, these are self-defeating. 10, very strong anger can be highly disruptive, can cloud clear thinking, and can lead or become a justification for crimes of passion committed while in an insane state. It can also cause you to believe that you need to drink, use illicit drugs, gamble, or engage in other bad habits. I'm going to stop there for a moment and point out the correlation of both these books, Deadly Emotions by Dr. Don Colbert and Anger Management by Raymond Tafreddi, a PhD, how both these books speak about what the scripture teaches. And therefore, it is important to do some very serious self-evaluation. And we also know that there are persons who are angry and who don't even know they're angry. There are many longitudinal studies on this topic. For believing ones, it is important or it is imperative to understand that you and I have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We have His power in our lives. We have it available to us moment by moment so that we might be free and may be free. Now again, I haven't addressed rage as such and what it does, but there are many instruments to measure hostility. And let me say, please get professional help if you are one given to anger. Because you and I must realize that anger is a demand. And although we may get what we wish for in the short term, in the long run, it does not work. Because anger is highly manipulative. And it is also highly destructive. Now, it may be counterintuitive, but it is nevertheless true. God has made adequate provision for each believer, so that we might live lives that are well pleasing to Him. He has given us all things that pertain unto life, Zoe, spiritual life, and godliness through His own power. In Romans chapter 6, Paul writes, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves, this is Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, sinful anger, par, gizmo, orge, thumos, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. And please review this show as often as you need to learn the terminology and go to these scriptures and read them for yourselves. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. The word here, instruments, in the Greek is the word hopla, and it means instruments of war, military armaments. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments, as hopla, instruments or weapons of war for God's purposes. God has called us to open, and God has given us His own power, His own resurrection power. Think about what the scripture tells us about what happened to the person of Jesus. Isaiah says that His beard was plucked out. We also read in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that God the Father slammed down on Jesus the sins of all mankind. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. Crown of thorns was placed upon His brow. He was beaten by the soldiers. Jesus, we are told, was marred by Isaiah beyond human recognition. And when He was placed upon that cross, after all that abuse, what did He say? He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. He was not conquered by His abusers. He gave a shout of victory before He yielded up His spirit voluntarily to the Father. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and thank you for listening to A Sound Heart Radio. God bless you.